Remember our pastor and sister, Pastor, Sister Sutton. Amen. As they're traveling, and that God will keep his hand on them as he always does. Amen. We do miss them when they're gone. Amen. But like he always says, Brother Cliff, one monkey don't stop a show. God just puts another monkey up. See? Hallelujah. Amen. I feel his power and presence here tonight. He's a good God. Does anybody agree with me on that? He's a good God. He's a good, good God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. I'll do my best tonight to not hold you long. Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to verse 24. 25 of chapter 7, and then we are going to go to Luke chapter 6 and verse 47 and verse 48. Amen. It's good to see everybody out in the house of the Lord tonight. If you're a visitor here, we're glad you're here. Amen. We appreciate you being with us, and we pray that can receive something from the Lord tonight. And if you're not a visitor, I pray that you can receive something from the Lord tonight. Amen. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples said unto him, or came unto him. He opened his mouth and taught them, saying, and then he goes into his sermon that we know as the Sermon on the Mount, or that's commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. This sermon lasts 3 chapters, 5, 6, and 7. And I want to skip to the end of chapter 7. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures there at the end. And then maybe we'll talk a little bit about what was in the middle. Amen tonight. Somebody said amen. The Bible said he went into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came and he opened his mouth. But then at the end of the chapter, of chapter 7, if you go to verse 24, I want to read a couple of scriptures there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Somebody say, founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And if you go to Luke chapter 6, and then we'll conclude our reading tonight, and appreciate you standing for the reading of the word. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 47 is the same story, just in a little different slant. And I wanted to read Luke's rendition and how he wrote it and how he said it, because I just like the way he said it. Amen? Luke chapter 6 and verse 47, said it this way, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." I just like the terminology that he used. A few more colorful words and got a little more detail and put a little more into it. Because he said, when the man built the house, he dig deep. Somebody say, dig deep. And he laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently, powerful, hard against the house, it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Amen. Won't you lift your hands and let's ask God to bless the word. Hallelujah. Would you do it right now? Would you pray? In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, tonight for your goodness and your mercy, for your power. Lord, move in this house right now, Jesus. Speak to us, Lord, through your word. Touch every heart, every soul, every mind, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you thanks, Jesus. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand of praise and you can be seated in the fear of the Lord. Brother Dustin, I don't have a title. That's not my norm, but just sometimes I just can't come up with a theme here or a title that sounds good. So you'll have to come up with it on your own tonight. Amen. Somebody say amen. I want to take us on a short journey tonight. And I want to take us through this journey through what we know as the Sermon on the Mount in the Word of God. Jesus in chapter 5 of Matthew, chapter 6 and chapter 7, he is teaching. And he is talking and really talks about a lot of things and has a lot of topics going on there in the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to touch on a few of those tonight because I want to take you to the end of the chapter to where we read our text tonight about the man that built his house and conclude it there if I can. But Jesus is teaching this sermon. And he is teaching the multitude, and we find at the very end of this sermon that there were multitudes that followed Jesus. And but during this process, he begins in Matthew chapter 5, and he begins to teach. And the very first thing that he touches on in this chapter is what we know as the Beatitudes. He starts off talking about blessed are the poor in spirit. And he goes on and he lists several others that were there. And but as he goes through this chapter 5 and chapter 6 and chapter 7, and he brings it to a conclusion, and he ends the chapter with these words, and it says, "Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine." And I can't help but to think, while he's saying that and he's talking about that, he's referring back to what he just told them or what he just talked about. And it's ironic that he finishes with this story about the proper way to build and what kind of foundation that we need to use. And because during that process and the contents of chapter 5 and all the way to the end of chapter 7, they're of no consequence if we're not built on the proper foundation. And somebody said, praise the Lord. It's not to say that these things are not important, But it's important that we first must build upon a foundation that's going to stand. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but there are going to be those that are going to come to the Lord in the end, in the last day. The Bible says it, during the 7th chapter here, and they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done great and mighty works?" And he's going to look at them and say, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity." I don't want to hear those words spoken in my ear. So I need to make sure that I build upon a strong foundation. I don't want to just have a form of godliness, but I want to make sure that my foundation is strong. Because you see, during your life, the winds of this world and the storms of life, they're going to beat against your house, and they're going to beat against your foundation. And if your foundation is not strong enough, you're not going to stand, and you'll fall by the wayside. Amen. But I want to stand when the hard times come. Somebody say praise the Lord. But he starts off and he talks about the Beatitudes. And I'm just going to go through this and kind of touch the highlights of some of the things that I pulled out of this today, and try to lay a foundation, amen, tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. Now, y'all don't get quiet on me. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. This is a interaction session. Hallelujah. And I don't really care if you storm the pulpit. But I do want you to listen, too, so we'll just kind of balance it out a little bit tonight, all right? Amen. Well, here he comes. He's going to storm the pulpit. Yeah! Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's what I need. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! I feel like preaching now. Hallelujah. He's a good God. Do you believe he's a good God? Hallelujah. Let's give him a good hand of praise right now. He's a good God. Hallelujah. But he starts off talking about the blesseds, or the blessed, or however you want to say that. Depends on where you're from, I guess, determines how you say that. But he starts it off by talking about blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are the meek, and blessed are they which hunger and thirst. This is probably one of my favorite blesseds. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For what? They what? I like that. Because it lets me know if I'm hungry for the things of God. If I'm hungry for the things of God. If I'm hungry for the things of God. I will be filled. I'll find what I'm looking for. Hallelujah. I always want to have an appetite for godly things. I always want to have an appetite for the things of God. Hallelujah. I like that. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I don't know about you tonight, but I need, Sister Corey, I need a lot of mercy. I need you to give me mercy. Amen. I need the praise singers to give me mercy when I make them come back and sing another song. You see, I need a lot of mercy. So you see, there's a problem here. I'm not going to receive mercy if I don't give mercy. So if I want to receive mercy, I need to give mercy. I need to give folks the benefit of the doubt. I don't need to blow off the handle. I don't need to get mad. I don't need to give them a piece of my mind. I need to give people mercy and be kind to people. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. Not the troublemakers, but the peacemakers. Hallelujah. He goes on and he talks about us being the salt of the earth. And he said, if the salt has lost its savor, it's good for what? It's good for nothing. When you reach down at the dinner table and you pick up the salt shaker and you pour your plate full of salt, but you can't taste any different, then there's something wrong with the salt. Something's not there. It's not. It doesn't have its flavor. And he said, we're not good for anything. And he says that we need to let our light shine before men, and so that they can see our faith. No, listen at it. I'm going to trick you now. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your faith. Somebody knows it. He said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works. Man can't see faith, but he can see works. And you see, faith produces works. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
He also tells us that unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, that we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want to touch on this just for a little bit. We're making our way down to the foundation that he talks about in the end of the at the end of this sermon. But he said something that really stood out to me. And he said, if our righteousness, unless our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And if you know anything about the Pharisees, you're going to find out that the Pharisees were sticklers of the letter of the law. I mean, they had it down pat. They knew how to do it. They knew all the rituals. They knew the sacrifice. They knew the temple, the offering, and everything that they did. They knew how to do it. And at the time of Christ, it had gotten to the point to where that's all they were doing. There was no, they understood the letter of the law, but they didn't understand the spirit of the law. They were concerned about crossing every T and dotting every I. And Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds theirs, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And one place the Bible talks about, Jesus talks about them as being whited sepulchers, a tombstone that's beautiful on the outside and polished and bleached and marbled and looks good, and the flowers and all the good pretty things around the tomb. But inside, they were full of dead men's bones, the Bible said. And Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that, that you're not going to have any part in the kingdom of heaven. And he talked about them. He talked about them wanting to clean the outside of the platter, but yet inside they're full of hypocrisy, he said, and you're full of uncleanliness and iniquity. And outwardly they had the appearance, and they appeared unto men as being righteous, but yet on the inside, and when they were away from the crowd and away from the people, they did not exhibit the things of God, and they didn't have the Spirit of God in their lives. Can somebody say praise the Lord? So we need to be careful about becoming a Pharisee. And let me say this, having it all looking good and having every T crossed and I dotted and short sleeve and holiness and all of that and having it all right on the outside, amen, is not good enough. It's not good enough, hallelujah, because you can have it all and look the part, amen, but unless you have it on the inside, it is of no avail. You cannot be a perfected witness to God, amen, if you're like the Pharisee and you're trying to do it all right on the outside, but inside you're full of dead men's bones, inside you're full of hatred, and you're full of envy, and you're full of strife. And you hate your brother, and you've got bitterness, and there's backbiting and disrespect, and you fill in the blank. Amen. Come, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because you can have it on the outside, but not be Christ-like or Christian on the inside. But let me say it again. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisee. Well, how can it exceed that of the Pharisee? How can it get any better than what they've done? If you was to take a glass of an empty glass and you were to turn it upside down under the faucet, you would clean the outside of the glass, but the inside of the glass would still be dirty. And it would not be presentable to your guests if you had one. But if you took that glass, Brother Peter, and you held it upright and you put it under the faucet and you started filling it up with water and it started cleaning on the inside, you see, eventually, if you stay there long enough, it's going to overflow and it's going to go to the outside. Let me tell you something. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisee, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Not only do you have to have it right on the outside, not only do you have to have it right on the inside, but it takes it all. I said it takes it all. You can't have it just on the outside and be good enough. And let you in on a little secret. If you got it right on the inside, eventually if you hold yourself under the spout where the glory comes out, it's going to overflow to the outside. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen? I'm just telling you what Jesus talked about on the Sermon on the Mount. I'm talking about building a good foundation. I'm talking about building on a rock. I'm talking about building on something sure, something solid, something that's going to stand. What Jesus said does not negate the necessity to be holy and to maintain a separation from the world and worldly appearances. It's kind of like, Brother Dawson, love and marriage. Love and marriage. Love and marriage go together like horse and carriage. See, I told you I couldn't sing. See, I got an amen out of Brother Patrick out there. You know, you can't have one. You can't have one. Well, yeah, without the other. Well, glory to Jesus. But that's like holiness. That's what Jesus was talking about. You can't have one without the other. Well, actually you can, but you can't have it on the inside without it showing on the outside. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm just telling you what Jesus was talking about. Jesus thought it important to obey the law. He really did. He said in one place, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to what? Fulfill it. What happened when he healed the 10 lepers? What did he tell them to do? Go show yourself to the priest. Why? Because that was the law. The priest was the only one that could proclaim them clean. So you see, the law is important. And if you get it right, it's going to show. And somebody said, amen. I'm talking about building a foundation. Do you want your house to stand when the winds come, when the winds blow, when the storm rises, when the water comes in, like Luke said, vehemently? I can hardly even say that word. Comes in with a lot of pressure, a lot of force. Have you ever watched a flood? Have you ever seen a flood? Have you seen the force of the water? I mean, you don't want to get in the way. We had a video one time that showed, you know, rescues of people that were in the flood, and it showed some. And I'm telling you, that water is powerful. And when the floods of life come up, when the flood of this world comes against your house, hallelujah, I want to make sure that my house is firm, is solid. Because when the dust settles, when the storm goes away and the waters reside, I want to be able to look at my house and say, it's still standing. Hallelujah. Amen. But he goes on and he talks about things like, thou shalt not kill, and I'm just about through. And he said, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, it's like killing him. You know, the Pharisees believed in the commandments. Thou shalt not kill, and thou shalt not steal, and thou shalt not commit adultery. And he even goes on to say, if you've looked on a woman to lust after her in your heart, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. Tough things, strong words. But yet, he concludes this sermon and he says, if you do these things, if you heed these words, you're going to be like a man that built his house upon the rock. That's no wonder the Pharisees hated him. He was exposing them. Amen. He goes on, he talks about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But he said, if somebody smites you on the cheek, I want you to turn around and give them the other cheek. He's talking about building on a foundation that's strong. I saw several of you husbands look over to your wives like something's going on here. Do I need to stop here and preach on this a little while? Amen. That's tough words. That just means when somebody does evil to you, we don't rise up and do evil back because we're building a strong foundation. Amen. When somebody does you wrong and somebody does you bad, you don't rise up against them. What do? You forgive them and you give them mercy and you give them room. What a sermon. In chapter 6, he says, don't be boastful about what you do and how you give. You know, if you get ready to give in the offering, Brother Carr, he says, we don't need to walk up and get in front of the church and I can't get my wallet out. I bought a new wallet the other day, and it's too big for my pocket. Okay, everybody, see? Nothing there. Where's my wife? See? $100 bill, everybody, see? Look at me. Woo-wee, I'm doing something good for the Lord. I'm giving to God. Hallelujah. He says, don't do that. That's what the Pharisees do. They're very boastful. They only do that because there's a crowd. You get a crowd there and the Pharisees are all lovey-dovey and, you know, they want this and that and another. What happens when the crowd's not there? Amen. The best blessings that I've ever gotten is when I did something good for somebody and nobody ever knew about it. Not even them. I would say something, but that might be boastful. So I'm not going to say it. Just to say this. Our reward is not here upon this earth, but our reward is in heaven. What kind of foundation are you building? He says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. You can't serve two masters. He goes on in chapter 7, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened. Or ask and you shall receive. He said, what man is there of you whom if his son asked bread, would he give him a stone? Or if he asked a fish, will he give him a serpent. And then he said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? In Luke, he said it this way, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And as we go to the conclusion of chapter 7, and I really do believe in reading this, that he is actually building up from the beginning of this chapter 5, and as he goes down to the end of chapter 7, he is building up to what he wants to say at the end. Because he starts talking about, he says, to strive to enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many will find that gate. But straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find that gate. If you're going to have a strong foundation, it's going to take some work. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be as easy as just flowing with the crowd or flowing with the groove or whatever, however you want to say that. You're not going to do it that way, because you see, if you flow with the crowd and you flow with the flow, you're going to find yourself going into that wide gate, the Bible said, that leads to destruction. But if you're going to find that narrow gate, you got to search for it. You got to seek for it. You got to ask for it. You got to desire it. You got to be hungry for it. Amen. He talks about the narrow way. Has anybody ever told you, and as the musicians come, has anybody ever told you that you're just narrow-minded? I have had people tell me that. When it comes to the things of God, yes, I am narrow-minded. And yes, I am radical. Hallelujah. And yes, I am dogmatic when it comes to the things of God. Because you see, when it really counts, Brother Carr, in the end, I want my house to stand. And if it takes being narrow-minded, if it takes believing what the Word of God said, then I'm going to believe what the Word of God said. I want to build my spiritual house up on the rock. I don't have time to play around with the things of God. I don't have time to play around with the world. I have a precious family that I need to make sure get saved. I have children. Brother Tony, I don't see him, but he was talking about Gabriel, talking about running in church. You've got children that are looking at you, and they're looking up to mom and dad, and they're looking at mom and dad's reaction to the Word of God. They're looking at mom and dad and how they respond to the preacher, and how they respond to the pastor, and how they respond to the things of God. They're looking at you. And I want to make sure that 30 years from now, if the Lord tarries, I can look at my daughter and see her worshiping God. Because you see, it really matters what kind of foundation you build on. Amen. I want to bounce grandchildren one day on my knee, if the Lord tarries. No hurry, though. No hurry. Just take your time. Somebody told me the other day at the wedding, they said, Brother Freeman, you're next. I said, yeah, right. So we got about 10 years. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. Dad, don't preach about me when you get up there. Just leave me alone. I want to make sure my foundation is strong, Brother Robbie. I want to make sure my attitude is right and my spirit is right. And if you get time, we didn't talk about everything that was in those three chapters. Read it. There's some good stuff there. Good stuff on how to live every day and how to act and how to treat your brother and how to just conclude with, if you do these things and you hear these words, it's like you built your house upon the rock. Yes, I'm narrow-minded, but I've purposed in my mind and my heart to make a commitment to God. I'm going to stand for you. I don't care if everybody suddenly says, you don't have to do that anymore. That's not necessary anymore. I want to stand with David and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And we're going to stand for what's right. You can know tonight. You don't have to wander aimlessly through life, wondering, am I really right with God? Am I really doing what I need to do? You can be sure tonight. Amen. And right after he got through with his sermon, or there at the end, he began to tell the story. He said, if you hear these sayings of mine, and you doeth them, I'm going to liken you to a man that builds his house upon a rock. He asked his disciples one time, Brother Warren, who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say, you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. But then he narrowed it down. And he said, who do you say that I am? I want to know who you think I am. And Peter spoke up. And he said, thou art the Christ, Brother Robert, the Son of the living God. And Jesus looked at him and said, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. He's revealed that to you. And he looked at Peter. And this is what he said. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I want us to dissect that just a little bit. He said, thou art Peter. Peter meaning rock. And that word Peter is Petros, which means rock or little stone. He said, Peter, you're the little stone. Then he said, but upon this rock, and that rock means Petra. That rock is a cliff or a ledge or a large rock. He said, Peter, you're the little rock. You're the little guy. But he said, I'm going to build my church upon the big rock. And he was speaking of himself. He was indicating something huge, something big. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, let me just tell you this, and I'm going to close. Would you stand to your feet? You do what you want to do. And you hear what I'm saying tonight. You do what you want to do. You build your house like you want to build it. You lay your foundation like you want to build it. It's a free country. God's not going to commandeer you. Brother Cliff, he's not going to come down and grab you by the throat. I've always wanted to do this. Thank you. I'm just kidding, bro. I love you. See, he knows. He's not going to come down and grab you by the nape of the neck and say, buddy boy, you're going to build like I tell you to build. You understand me? No. He'll let you do what you want to do. He'll let you act the way you want to act. He'll let you build the way you want to build. I don't know about you. You do it the way you want to do it. But let me tell you how I'm going to do it. I'm going to build upon that large rock. I'm going to build on a big, big God. I'm going to build on something that's going to stand, something that's solid, something that's pure. You see, the storm is coming. Something's going to come your way. If you haven't had the storm yet, it's coming. Something's going to come your way. And if you're not careful, and if your foundation is not deep, like Luke said, he said that man dug deep, and he dug down till he found a rock. If your house is not standing on a sure foundation, if your house is not standing on a sure foundation, when the winds get through blowing and they do their thing, they're going to look around and they're going to look for your house, but they're not going to find it. And let me tell you something, it really doesn't matter right now. But it matters in the end. It matters. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone, whom all the building fitly framed together, in whom you're also builded together for an habitation of God. It's a beautiful thing to build on a good foundation. Why? Because I want God to live there. I want it to be a habitation for God. Would you come? Amen. Let's gather around the altar tonight. Hallelujah. You see, the Holy Ghost is challenging us tonight. See, I like being challenged by the Holy Ghost because it gives me a nudge and it looks at me and says, how are you building your house? What are you building your house on? Are you building your house like the foolish man on sinking sand, shifting sand? When the winds blow, we may find you over here one day. And the wind's going to blow another direction. We'll find you over here the next day. Turn around and we see you one day and we don't see you the next day. There's no faithfulness. Amen. But let me tell you something, if you stand on the rock and if you build on the rock of Jesus and the words that he spoke, hallelujah, you're going to stand sure and you're going to be there when it's over. Would you lift your hands and love him? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.